You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
This is episode 146. Yeah.
146, John.
146, Scott. Well, how are you doing this week there, buddy? We're running a little late this year, or week.
That's right, John. It's a Wednesday night. We're actually podcasting during the debates, of all things.
Why do you talk like that?
That's my morning zoo.
Morning zoo.
Hey.
You get that high like you're cooking the clouds.
Red Bar Radio. I'm Mike D coming at you.
It's got to be lower there, Scott.
It's got to be like this.
Got to do
That's
it like
right.
this.
I'm Mike D. Yeah.
That's just mean.
What?
Poor Mike D.
What do you mean, poor Mike D? He's got one of the most popular podcasts in all of the interwebs.
He does, man.
So what do you mean, poor
He's
Mike D?
He's making it real. Keeping it real.
What I did here, I saw it.
I noticed his kitchen cabinets have the exact same handles that mine do.
Whoa.
Yeah.
See,
how about
you have
that?
A lot in common.
I tool around on their
Did he
forum.
Get married?
I think so.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
You weren't listening to our podcast, were you?
Who, me?
Him.
Oh. Yeah, so that's why.
Hopefully he talked, he told her, yeah, you don't want to marry me. Are you sure you want to do this? Here's your chance to get out.
Here's your chance to get out. Yeah, and I like podcasting, so I'm going to continue to do that.
Yeah.
So if that's not something you're not interested in, let me know now, and we'll call this whole thing off. That would have been the approach.
Yeah. What he said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, John, so it's Wednesday night.
Wednesday.
Usually we do this on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
We will be back in the saddle Sunday night, I think, and we may even have a special guest.
Right.
That's right, John.
Yeah, might have Zach back. Might trying to get Phil. See if Phil will come out.
Phil and Zach in the
Phil,
same show?
Yeah, Phil and Zach and Phil.
Wow. Phil, Zach.
Phil, Zach, and Phil.
Phil, Zach, Phil.
Phil, Zach, Phil.
So anything interesting happened to you since the last podcast?
The fucking Bears lost.
One of the most what are they, 3-3?
Fucking setting. Yeah.
Who'd they lose to?
To Atlanta.
Are they any good, Atlanta? They should be
no,
crap, right?
Actually,
they
they're
threw Michael Vick in jail.
Yeah, they're supposed to be really bad against the pass. And what's his name?
We can't even remember
Orton.
The quarterback's name.
Orton.
That's how good he is.
Yeah. No, Kyle Orton couldn't air anything out in the first half. And
did they pull him?
No. No, then he was the star of the show in the second half. He fired off a couple of touchdown passes, and there was a I think somebody ran one in or some shit like that. A couple of good passes, one touchdown.
And they still lost.
Yeah.
So the defense sucks this year?
Yeah, the defense. Well, the defense let them pass all over. They weren't in Atlanta's face at all against this rookie quarterback. They should have been pummeling his fucking skull into the ground. And they didn't penetrate at all.
I see. Penetrate.
And Ryan, Mr. Ryan, who was their quarterback.
Penetrate.
Yeah, he was firing a shitload of he was firing an aerial assault against the Bears.
So the Bears should have picked up this Ryan kid, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, he didn't throw any real. He threw like a touchdown pass, but they got like 12 points on field goals.
Nice.
So they ran it down close enough each time. And then the Bears got a gift because he shanked one in the final minutes of the game. But then Kyle Orton marched it all the way back for a TD. And here comes...
come on.
Not for a TD. Was it a TD?
Come on. It really
TD.
Doesn't matter. They lost.
There's 11 seconds left, and they let this... Mr. Ryan... throw a bomb to the sidelines with 1 second left on the clock, and they beat the Bears by 22-20 or whatever it was. Doesn't matter.
Bears are 3-3. They're not going to make the playoffs if they can't beat the Falcons. Come on.
Ruined my day.
Ruined. Why don't you just lower your expectations?
What do you mean? How much lower can I lower them?
Expect them to lose every game. And if they win, wow, that's great. Yay, they won.
Yeah,
how about that?
That's a lot of fun watching a game. They're going to lose anyway. Can I have another beer? They're going to lose anyway.
That's what I do. And if you're into the football, it's all about the social thing, right? Or do you sit down in the basement and watch it by yourself?
No, I sit down and yell at my son to shut up.
What does he say?
He's yapping through the whole thing. And then he'll jump up. Did you see that, Dad? Did you? And he'll have a football in his hand. And he'll act out in slow motion the pass.
Nice.
I'll say, either you sit down and shut your face or go upstairs by your mother.
You have more than one TV. You could always banish him to another TV.
I flipped out a couple weeks ago, like slammed my hand on the couch. God damn it! And he leapt out of his chair, and he's looking at me, and he just gets up and walks away, and he went up to his room and stayed there the rest of the game.
I'm like,
hey, dude, what happened? You'd split. He's like, Dad, you scared the crap out of me. Oh, sorry.
Well, it's a good thing you followed up and talked to him about it.
I always do.
Or else he'd be seeing a therapist for 10 years to get over that.
I prefer the rapist.
The rapist.
I'll take the rapist for 500, Trebek.
Well, let me just tell you this. Watching basketball with TP, which I've talked about before, and it's just a flurry of racial slurs thrown at the screen. Unless it's Michael Jordan.
Oh, then he's okay.
Then he's okay. But
I don't know why TP can't vote for Barack. Just vote for the white half.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but the one point is that everything he said and every mannerism he had watching NBA, he got from his dad, which I found out later when we watched a playoff game at his house. And Tony took a backseat to his dad acting in the same manner. So you could be teaching Nathan to slam things and get up really upset.
That's all right.
Okay.
As long as he's not yelling racial slurs.
Right.
Or injuring others.
Yes. Agreed. but yeah, I think that is, I will call
TP
again.
What am I supposed
again.
To do, like you do in your town? Oh, that was a fine pass, don't you think, there?
What a lovely pass.
What a lovely pass.
Speaking of pass, could you pass the wine?
Could you pass me another Merlot while we're watching the Bears game? Oh, that Ryan is a lovely quarterback.
Don't get too excited. I don't want to spill
my Merlot on the new white couch.
You want to try calling TP right now?
Sure.
Do you still have his number in Skype?
I don't know.
Because, you know, I've called him, and he's supposed to call us and give us TP's take. And this could be one of the questions. Tony.
I have the number right here.
Why wouldn't you
vote? Who's going to answer? Is it going to be his mom or something?
No, it's his cell phone.
Oh, okay.
Why? I think you should present your idea to him to vote for Obama because he... What was it again? Because why?
What? Because he could vote for the white half.
Yeah, he could vote for the white half. The white half of Obama is better than McCain. Just
right.
The white half.
Right.
Right. And see how he responds to that. We could do that, yes. That is something we can do.
Right.
Because we have the tools and we have the talent.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Well, while you're doing that and getting that set up, are you ready to go? I heard the music shut off.
I'm ready.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Do we have to tell him he's on air and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. You handle that.
What?
You handle that.
Are
he's probably in bed already.
Are you scared?
10 to 9.
Hi, this is Tony. Please give your number and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks. Bye.
When you have finished recording,
you're gonna leave
you may
the message?
Hang up or press pound for more options.
Come on, you douche. Answer the phone already.
The douche.
Over by there.
Sorry, but nothing was heard.
What?
To send a numeric page, press 1. To record a voice message,
hello?
Press 7.
Hello?
To transfer to the operator, press
hello?
1.
Hello? All right, well.
All right. Well, I guess we weren't really connected.
Well, you know.
Who knows?
Technically.
So one of the interesting things happened to me over the weekend is I went up north, spent some time with the family. It turns out everyone in my family is voting for McCain. So when we did have a discussion Friday evening after I had many glasses of wine, the one thing I learned about myself is I am an arrogant SOB. I am so arrogant, my arrogance doesn't let the audience hear my ideas.
Ah.
Yes, so I need
well,
to learn
I don't
how
know.
To tone
how
that
does
down.
It happen? Is it like an arrogant force field?
I must have
protruded?
Some arrogant force field. Well, in the thing about it is when I think about myself and I think about getting in a conversation with somebody else who I perceive to be arrogant, it amps me up more to raise the level of discussion and the exchange of ideas.
Right.
But...
Right.
You know, some studies came out recently, and some conservatives, the more you present them with the facts, the more they cling to the lies. And I'm not saying any of these things are correlated, but it makes me think that you and I, if an arrogant, right. if we're having a conversation with an arrogant person, it doesn't bother us at all. But some people, it bothers so much that they can't even continue having a conversation.
Right.
Because they're so focused on the other person's arrogance and what an asshole they are that it really doesn't benefit anybody.
Right.
So that's what I found out over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of like an intervention. You know, they sat me down. I was under a spotlight, and they all told me what an arrogant person I was.
You arrogant ass.
Which is okay. You know, and I've...
Now you've killed us.
Talked to my wife about it, and about how I can...
remember the scene in Hunt from Red October?
Still have discourse, but not come across as an arrogant SOB. But the thing is, you know, when I...
It's
when
not
I,
arrogance. You're an elitist.
That was the other charge against me. But,
fucking Stalinist elitist.
Well, whatever. I just like talking, you know, and it's all about me. I'm a narcissist. We all know
give
that.
Give you a goddamn microphone. Jesus Christ.
So, but when we're discussing these things, I really enjoyed it. Nonetheless, I learned about chiropractic. I learned some things about chiropractic. And
What?
Well, the notion of that I've always held of chiropractic is
chiropractic.
Yeah, it's a scam.
Yeah,
and when I think the one image I have of a chiropractor was of your chiropractor at a kangaroo court gig. You remember that video?
Where yes, I do.
He was dancing in the corner.
Yeah.
So apparently this is the traditional view of chiropractic is based on pretty much bogus crap. But what chiropractic has done in the last 50 years is they've kind of evolved where muscle and back is still something that they work with, but they're more into nutrition and kind of a... what do you call it? Preventive maintenance. So if you go see a chiropractor today, you still may be seeing a traditional chiropractor, which in my opinion is a total waste of money and a total waste of time.
I disagree.
But these new guys...
Have you been to one?
I have never been to
so
one.
So how do you know?
I don't.
How do you know?
Just from what I read.
From who?
It's all over the web.
All over them webs?
All over the web. There's an excellent article, Cecil Adams. Somebody asked him the question about chiropractic. Is it quackery or is it real? And he discusses traditional and then this new breed of chiropractors, which are about nutrition and like a preventive maintenance, where they'll actually sit down and talk to you. Now, when you go to your medical doctor... They want to get you in and get you out as soon as they can so they can have the next patient come in. So that's not preventative maintenance. What do they call that? You call that reactive. They're reacting to something.
Right.
And so I think there's definitely a need for preventive maintenance. And chiropractic, the new breed, has taken over that need. But as long as they're giving advice from a medical perspective and not from like a homeopathic or homeopathic.
Homeopathy.
And homeopathy, all that crap. And acupuncture, that's a bunch of crap. So I did learn that as well. And I thought it was a nice discussion. But I do need to change my ways, especially around my family.
I used to go to the chiropractor.
What happened?
Was the guy.
Why don't you go anymore?
He moved.
So you don't go because he moved?
Yeah.
Why don't you find another one?
Because you get a little, you know, leery about somebody snapping your neck. So once you have somebody that's done it, and I'll tell you, Joe could tell you too, that you feel pretty good afterwards. But I'll tell you what happened the first time I went. Did I ever tell you this story?
Probably, but I
first time I went to see him, he's like, okay, we got to take some x-rays, you know, to make sure I don't have any slip discs. And then he's doing adjustments on me and then fucking puts me in a wheelchair for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So they take some x-rays and stuff. He checks them out. Everything looks okay. He does some cracks, you know, snapping my neck, my back, all the way down to my anus. And he says, now don't do anything like strenuous. Don't, you know, you're going to be a little sore. We've been moving muscles and areas of your spine that haven't been moved probably since you were 12. So, you know,
for how long? Just for a couple
of days.
Couple of days.
Just take it easy. The very next day I go play golf.
What'd you do that for?
Hey, I figured how strenuous is it to swing a fucking club? Come on. And I went to a 9-hole, you know? Par 3. It was 18 holes.
Did you make it?
Yeah.
Okay, so you golfed, no problem.
No, I golfed till about the 12th hole. And then I started walking like Frankenstein. I couldn't bend my knees. I couldn't bend my legs at the knee. Right? And literally had to walk, like, I couldn't move.
Wait a minute. So he worked on your back? Did he work on your legs as well?
No, but everything's connected. That's your nerves all down there, you know? So all of a sudden, my legs tightened up and my ass tightened up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck did this guy do to me? And everybody's making fun. Yeah, well, that's what happens when you see a chiroquactor. So the next day I go to see him and I go, what the fuck did you do, man? And he's like, I told you not to do anything for a couple of days. And he goes, you know, where does it hurt? And I told him, and he lays me face down and he put something in my ass. I'm not sure what. No, he put all these electrodes all over my back and turned this machine on that just made my muscles contract all over the place. And within 10 minutes, I felt fucking perfect. No pain, nothing. So I started seeing him like regularly, like every week. And I literally, that whole year, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but he said, you'll probably notice if you had any allergies, if you've been sick, that you'll feel a lot better. Your range of motion will be better. He's a sports medicine doctor. So I thought, wow, this is great. I'm feeling awesome. Then he lays something on me where he wanted me to hold vitamins in my hands.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're going to think this is kind of weird, but I learned this new thing. He had me hold vitamins in my hands. Okay, now I'm going to press down on your arm and you have to push back. I go, what the fuck does this do? Well, it tells me which vitamin you'll react to better.
No, oh,
but I hand him the vitamins back. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Wait a minute.
I am not going to pay you another dime if you ever pull some bullshit like this. Mm-hmm. If you ever do this to any one of your patients, I'm going to turn you in, man. Is a fucking witch doctor.
Well, getting back to you saw him once a week, and what did he do? He just worked on your muscles, or what did he do? Hello.
No, he adjusted my back.
Okay, he adjusted your back
all
once
the way
a week.
Up to my neck. And then...
When's the last time you've seen him?
Oh, I haven't seen him in years.
And how do you feel today?
10 years. Like, shit, man.
So you want to see him?
Oh, yes.
If he was available?
He used to lay on my back and...
So, did he ever say... well, I guess, was his treatment then to have you come once a week so he could adjust your back? Or did he ever give you advice on how to break the cycle of not having to go see him to adjust your back every week?
No.
He never told you advice on how to do that?
No, I didn't spend a dime, man. He was billing my insurance illegally.
Okay, well, that's fine. But I'm wondering, did he ever say, you know, you're after a year, you're not going to have to see me every week to adjust your back because we're going to do this and we're going to do this?
No, it would start out as a week. It would be like a week, every week. Then it'd be like every 2 weeks and then once a month and then, you know, like checkups, like you're getting your teeth cleaned at the dentist.
Right. I see. Very good.
He's a sports medicine guy, so he'd have a lot of kids in there from football and wrestling and all this shit. You know, he had the ice machine. He'd have a jet bath, and he had all this stuff, all kinds of electrodes he'd hook you up to. And
so why don't you go find another chiropractor?
I don't know.
Will your insurance still cover it?
Yeah, but I'll have to pay something out of pocket, and it's a bad economy right now, Scott. I don't know if you noticed. I don't know. Have you noticed that?
And paying $4 a buck, $4 a gallon for gasoline.
No, actually, it's only. What are you doing?
That's my McCain.
A credit cunt.
After he finishes talking, he has a stupid grin on his face, and he goes...
And he blinks his eyes. Yeah. Like, is he a robot or what?
I don't know what he is. He's scary is what
like,
he is.
He looks like a Muppet, a Gelfling. You remember the Gelflings from, what was that movie, Dark Crystal?
I never saw that movie. Hey, did you find Fletch that I can watch?
No.
Come on, man.
Oh,
that reminds me. I have to go to the library.
I got a phone call.
The library.
We got a phone call.
Yeah?
From Uno Shadow.
Something you could play?
Yeah.
Nice.
He
come on, man. Spit it out.
He agrees with you on something.
Of course.
Of course. Fuck off.
This is Uno Shadow. I have to call up again. You're forcing my hand, sir. I'm afraid, John, and this might be the first time that you and I have had a major disagreement on the show, and I've been listening for a long time. I'm going to have to agree with Scott here, sir. Risky Business was not funny. In fact, it was so not funny that I've taken shits that were funnier. I'm serious. That movie was ridiculous. It was stupid. It was some kind of a let's make Tom Cruise a star vehicle. We all saw it. I don't know how you missed it, but it was not, and I repeat, not fucking funny. In fact, you know what? I say Dude, Where's My Car was funnier, and that might have been one of the stupidest movies ever made.
Come on. I mean,
there are so many movies out there that are funnier than that languid piece of fucking trash. I can't believe you even mentioned it. I am shocked. I'm shocked and appalled, sir. I'm in awe at how unbelievably bad that movie was and how you thought it was funny. I have no words. I can't. Oh, my God, John. What the fuck, sir? I can't believe it. I am so let down. I'm sorry.
I hope he'll be okay, man.
How are you going to make it up to him?
What?
I couldn't agree more with Uno Shadow. And the thing that really irritates me, which he didn't mention, is it wasn't your number 10 film.
No.
It was like your number 5 film or something like that.
I just like Tom Cruise like in his underwear. I like him in a long shirt with underwear and white socks on.
That was funny to you?
Yeah. I thought the character Miles was hilarious.
Miles was good.
Yeah.
And, he was good in Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. I think it's a great movie.
He was good
in
Better Off Dead.
Oh, damn. He's so goddamn hot, Tom Cruise. pink, what is it kind of shirt? Argyle? I don't know.
I don't know.
Tidy whiteys and white socks singing into a, I don't know,
don't forget the Ray-Bans.
And the Ray-Bans, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to disagree. I think it was a funny movie.
Funny enough to put in your top 10.
That's right.
You're going to stand by that.
I'm going to stand by
that's
my
like
man.
That's like McCain standing by Palin as a pick for VP.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Ass.
Wipe. I saw a movie, John.
A credit cut.
You did?
Yes.
A movie.
I saw a movie. Actually, it was a DVD. So while I'm up in Eagle River on Friday night, I'm a complete arrogant a-hole, right? So they decide that I should see this movie called The Secret. Now, The Secret is based on a book of the same name.
Oh, my God.
The Secret.
Oh, my God.
I sat down as like a 90-minute...
Did you make fun of it the whole time?
I didn't make fun of it. You know, it was so campy, some of the anecdotal stuff that they tried to dramatize, that I found that funny. But overall, I have to give this movie a huge thumbs down. Huge thumbs down. Now, basically, the secret... Here's the secret. If you have negative thoughts, negative things will happen to you. If you have positive thoughts, positive things will happen to you. But they even go further than that. Like one guy comes on and he says, you know, I was getting bills in the mail. Every day, bills in the mail.
Yeah.
Bills in the mail. And I caught myself thinking about bills. Oh, I'm going to get another bill. And I would get another bill. I embraced the secret. And I started thinking, I'm going to get money. People are going to send checks to me. And you know what happened? The bills went down, and I started getting checks in the mail.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I mean, it's just so absurd. Now,
shoot me dead.
The thing about it, the thing that really pissed me off about this movie is, first of all, it's all based on the law of attraction. So if they had this quantum physicist in, I'm trying to check out his credentials because when you think a positive thought, quantum physics takes over and you send out like this positive energy and the universe realigns itself and gives you what you attract these things. So if you want a bicycle, a new bike, the universe aligns itself to give you a new bike. I mean, it's absurd. But the thing that pissed me off was... First of all, at the beginning, they said all of the great thinkers throughout history,
yeah,
which they include Einstein in there.
Yeah. They had the secret.
Yeah, he had the secret. Now, Einstein said, hey, you need to think about stuff before it's going to materialize. You have to be a visionary. You have to. And that's true. I mean, that's true. It's and a guy in 1950 came out with the book. What was his name? Vincent Peale? Peale about the power of positive thinking.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just a joke. It's a scam. It's the same underlying theme, which I completely agree in. You need to think positively, and you need to envision what your future is going to be like before it's going to happen. But what they do is they take it to this metaphysical level. They had a quantum physicist on who got everything wrong about quantum mechanics that you can. When he made these statements, they say Einstein was into this. He knew the secret, which is a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
But the thing that really, really got to me is one of the anecdotes they told was about this gay guy, right? And at work, everybody picks on him. Everybody calls him a queer. He's ostracized at work because of his homosexuality. So he learned the secret, and he learned that, well, I'm terrified to go to work, and I'm always thinking these negative thoughts, and that's why people are picking on me. So if I turn it around, you know, I want to be a stand-up comedian. And if I think about that, then everything will work out. So guess what, John? He starts thinking positively about this. Everybody who picked on him, they got transferred. He went and he was a successful stand-up comedian. But the problem with this, to me, is what it is saying is all the victims of the Holocaust could have avoided it they just thought positively.
Did you guys discuss that after the movie?
Well, you know, I came up and my aunt and uncle were there and my wife. So my wife, somebody gave her this book at work just recently. And she got through the first chapter and she's, you know, pushed it aside.
They didn't give her Who Moved My Cheese.
So I was giving her a recap. I said, hey, the underlying theme of positive mental attitude and envisioning your future, I completely agree with. Everything else was a bunch of shit, and here's why. And that's the first story I told. And my aunt got upset because I'm twisting everything around. And that's not what they said.
Well, isn't that what they're doing? The gay guy wished, wished everybody to disappear, so they did?
Well, he didn't wish that they disappeared. He just wished, his positive thought was, I'm going to be able to function at work, and I'm going to have a great day at work. And those thoughts, everybody transferred.
Well, it's the same thing as like, oh, a lucky penny. You pick it up all day long, I'll have good luck.
Right. Right.
And your good fortune could be, you know, your enemy getting hit by a train right in front of you. Yes!
Well, that's the other issue I had with it. They never really define positive and negative thoughts. Positive according to who?
Right. I mean, they could be negative to somebody else.
They could be negative to somebody else. Yeah. But positive to me. But again,
if only Hitler wouldn't gas me.
Right. It's the victim's fault for their negative thoughts. Yeah. So rape victims, you know, I mean, it's just absurd. It's despicable, if you ask me. The other thing that that really kind of irked me was what was it? They kept giving these anecdotes, but they like this one kid wished for a bike. He wanted a bike really bad, and then a guy just shows up with a bike and he leaves, and the kid gets his bike, and I'm like, what? They don't explain, you know, who the
cause
guy.
And effect, Scott. You're not picking up on
it. Is it the grandfather? Is it a pedophile in the neighborhood that gave him? I don't know. But they had an out, right? So if you don't think truly positive thoughts, this isn't going to happen.
Mm.
You know, so they have an out. And so I guess my assumption is my entire family bought into this thing and they wanted me to see it because this is going to change my attitude. Right? And this is going to make me see the light or whatever.
It's like a guy at work that insists on giving me a book. Oh, dude, you got to read this book, Mere Christianity. Oh, it'll change your beliefs. And I keep saying, I was there. I was where you were or are, and I don't believe anymore. So to get me to go back and believe again is not a book from some other clown that decides to say, hey, this is the path. This is how I found it, blah, blah, blah. I need proof. I need to be smited by God right now, and I haven't.
Yeah, show me a sign.
Something.
I did remember the other thing that bothered me, and I think I just probably forgot. Let me think about it. Oh, the one question I had, it was a hypothetical question.
You gotta think positively, and it'll come to you.
Yes, it was. Okay, hypothetically, let's say it's no longer a secret. Everybody knows this, and everybody embraces it. And it was really aimed towards material things, like everything was about money and about cars and about jewelry. All the anecdotes that they had. Oh, they did have some people. Oh, here's the other thing. They had some people on who overcame their chronic illnesses. Is chronic mean fatal? Fatal, what am I trying to say? So they were diagnosed with a terminal illness. And they didn't see a medical doctor. They didn't see a chiropractor. They turned it around all with positive thinking. And then they gave these anecdotes. And then all these guys who were speaking about the secret said this works. And I think that's despicable as well, to tell people that they can sit at home if they have pneumonia and think positive thoughts and it'll go away.
Well, here's
if they have breast cancer or whatever.
Here's what ABC News said. ABC News referred to claims that the mind is power over our health as perhaps the most controversial in The Secret. They quote Reverend Michael Beckwith, founder of Agape International Spiritual Center in Culver City, California, and one of the secret teachers, as saying, "I've seen kidneys regenerate. I've seen cancer dissolved." The film features one man who was paralyzed, mute, and on a ventilator after his spine and diaphragm were crushed in an airplane accident. He credits his recovery to the power of his mind. A similar story is told by another interviewee whose breast cancer went into spontaneous remission without medical intervention.
Right. So when I think about this, I think, okay, everybody makes mistakes, right? So maybe these doctors, their original diagnosis or prognosis for this guy who had a crushed whatever was wrong. Maybe they overstated how horrible it would be for him. This woman, maybe they mixed up the charts and they gave her somebody else's diagnosis. Yeah. The other thing is, let's say it is possible that there are people that can overcome these illnesses for whatever reason. That is not something that the general population can do. I mean, it would be, if we excluded all other things, let's say it really is true that this woman got rid of breast cancer after she was diagnosed. Not everybody on the planet is going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, so I think it's really despicable to tell people that.
Too bad, because you're not thinking positively enough, so you deserve to die.
Right. Well, and that would be their response to me, that you really don't have the faith.
Yeah, you didn't fight hard enough.
You didn't have enough positive thoughts.
Yeah, that's a bunch of shit.
Right. Oh, and that car accident when the semi hit you, that was because you're negative. You attracted the semi with your negative
with
thoughts.
With your negative law of attraction.
Yeah, even though the other guy was drunk and crossed the road.
If you thought positively, he would have flew over you.
Oh, about 10 miles from Eagle River, it's night, and there's a car with no headlights on. And the only way I saw it is there was a car right behind him with headlights. So it's a two-lane road. So I'm keeping my eye on this guy with no headlights. Swerves into my lane.
Whoa.
So I had to swerve just far enough onto the shoulder where if I had to go another foot, I would have been off the road in a ditch and really in some trouble.
Yeah.
And I just avoided this guy. And
did
I was
you
like,
spin
Jesus
around
Christ.
And beat the fuck out of him?
No, I didn't. I kept going. But the last 10 minutes of that ride were the worst.
Yeah.
Because every car.
Yeah.
Is this guy going to swerve? You know? It was just brutal.
And your adrenaline is like, if you were falling asleep at all, you're awake now.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, that guy ran into a tree before he ran into somebody else.
Oh, man.
So that is The Secret, John.
Nice.
The Secret.
That's a nice review. How many Spiny Normans you give that one? Negative
The Secret
4?
Has traveled through centuries, John, to reach you. Interviews with leading authors, philosophers, and scientists. I have a problem with leading because I didn't know any of these people, who they were. With an in-depth discussion of the law of attraction. The audience is shown how they can learn and use The Secret in their everyday lives. IMDb gives it 5.2 out of 10. I give it 1 for comedic value. I give it 2. 1 for comedic value, and I give it another 0.4. The underlying theme is positive mental attitude, which I agree with. But the way they distort it and make the victim responsible for their own suffering is a joke. And if you want to quote Einstein, here's a quote from Einstein.
Only two things are infinite, John. The universe and human stupidity. And I'm not sure about the former.
Nice.
That's right. They don't use that quote, though.
No, no.
No.
Why not?
I don't know. You didn't see any movies?
No.
I did see The City of Ember. City of Ember?
City of Ember.
I can't recommend it.
No. Huh?
I went because my daughter, either this year or last year, had to read the book for school. So it was fun. We had like a little date night, and we went to dinner afterwards. And she, in the movie, she told me all the differences between the book and the movie. So we talked about that. That was exciting for me to tell her. You see a filmmaker's dilemma when they have to take like something that's going to take you 6 hours to read and whittle it down to 90 minutes. They're going to have to combine some of those plot elements, and this is how this director chose to do that. And we talked about that, so that was cool. Maybe she'll be a filmmaker when she grows up. I don't know. And then, you know, of course, we'll get starring roles,
right,
if that's the
right
case. And finally, our talents will be recognized. Well, especially Mr. Stewart. I mean, he's an icon.
Right.
Iconic character. By the way, the company that we made those videos for no longer exists.
Yeah.
So I will be uploading those and making them available
nice.
To the interwebs.
It's out of sight.
Right on, John. Oh, I do have some celebrity news. Are you ready to get into celebrity news? The top of celebrity news, John, of course. You must have heard by now. What do you think the top celebrity story is this week? You've had to have heard this. It's huge news.
Huge.
Huge celebrity news.
Christina Applegate's breast.
No. That's like 4 weeks ago.
Oh. I'm a little behind on my celebrity news.
It's true. Madonna and her husband.
Oh, Guy Ritchie.
Almost 8 years, Guy Ritchie are getting divorced.
Wow.
The singer's publicist officially confirmed the news on Wednesday, and she made sure to point out in a statement that the couple have not agreed to a settlement. And it gets worse for Madonna, John. The material girl and her filmmaker husband have an estimated combined fortune. Guess how much?
How much?
$525 million. The bulk of which belongs to the singer.
Guess what else, John?
What?
Sources have confirmed exclusively to John and Scott that Madonna and Guy Ritchie do not have a prenuptial agreement.
Oh, boy.
So when we talk about Paul McCartney getting shafted for, what, $46 million? Phil Collins got shafted for like $50 million? That's going to be nothing compared to what Madonna is going to have to pay Guy Ritchie.
Wow.
Wow. Just because no prenup. What was she thinking? I mean, she already had a failed marriage to Sean Penn. Did she marry anybody else? Was Guy Ritchie her second?
It's hard to say.
It is hard to say. She was linked with Rodman. I mean, she's linked with everybody. Right now, she's linked with Alex Rodriguez.
She's linked at the...
Linked.
Genitalia.
Right on. Here's what I want to know,
the
John.
The report card's in, Scott.
Yeah.
Debate report card from CNN.
Debate report cards, and it says...
Yeah. Let's see. McCain. Paul Begala scores McCain a C. Alex, he's a Democratic strategist. Alex Castellanos, Republican strategist, scores McCain a C. David Gergen, senior political analyst, McCain a B. Hillary Rosen, CNN contributor, a C. Leslie Sanchez, Republican strategist, McCain, a C.
Wow.
For Barack Obama.
That's pretty bad.
Paul Begala, Democratic strategist, an A.
Wow.
Alex Castellanos, Republican strategist, a B for Barack. David Gergen, political analyst, a B. Hillary Rosen, CNN contributor, an A for Barack, and Leslie Sanchez, Republican strategist, a B.
Wow. Well, I
so
guess
two A's and three B's for Barack, and four C's and one B for McCain.
Well, how will the public respond?
How will the public respond?
How will the public respond, John? That's the question.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my cousin, on Friday night,
I told
my family why I was leaning towards Obama, and I told them three things I didn't like about Obama. My cousin agreed that he would tell me why he's leaning towards McCain and three things he doesn't like about McCain, and I'm waiting for that response. I'm still waiting. So when I do get that response, I'll ask him if I can bring it up here. Actually, I was going to ask him if he wants to call in and we can talk about it, you know, and then talk about the secret. But we already talked about the secret.
Yeah.
But we all know, my friends. I know how to do that, my friends.
My friends.
Can overcome it.
My friends,
the last news is bad. Let's not raise anybody's taxes, my friends. But the problems are, my friends, with our wonderful Ronald Reagan. My friends, what we have to do, let's look at our records, my friends. That's the good news, my friends. Bad news is we lost. By the way, my friends, I know you grow a little weary of this. I vote against him, my friends.
I grow weary of him saying, my friends.
We've got to drill offshore, my friends, and we've got to do it now. My friends, training, my friend.
My friends.
Let me just follow up, my friends. There's a lot at stake there, my friends. That requires a cool hand at the tiller. In Lebanon, I stood up to President Reagan, my hero. My hero is a guy named Teddy Roosevelt. I'll get Osama bin Laden, my friends. I'll get him. I know how to get him. I'll get him no matter what. And I know how to do it. But at the end of the day, my friend, we need steady hand at the tiller.
My friend.
That was all just from the town hall debate.
He probably didn't say that tonight because he was just addressing whoever. What was that
guy's
name?
His friend, Obama.
No. who was the news guy who did it? Harry Schieffer?
I don't know. Who cares? The bags under his eyes are...
My friend.
Can hold a shitload of groceries.
My friends.
I know how to do it. My friends. To be fair, here's something I copped off of the Letterman show.
I don't think we've ever done this before. This is an excellent segment, and you folks, thank your lucky stars you're here tonight. It's time for the Barack Obama count. Let me repeat that. Barack Obama count.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
Isn't that from the Flintstones?
Override a guilt by association. Some of these issues to talk more fully about with full documentation that there's nothing I think there's no doubt that it has been in the past.
He does say a lot. Yeah, I say
gotta,
a lot.
You gotta see Keith Olbermann. They like it's a video, and there's one and they show Keith Olbermann with this look on his face, like what? It was all in one interview.
I say a tremendous amount.
Yeah,
and we talked about
my friends.
Why you say
my friends?
You say because you're not done talking and you don't want to.
Right.
Give the floor over to whoever you're talking to.
Right.
So that lets you gather your thoughts and let them know, I'm not done yet, MF.
Right.
Okay? So I'm one of those L guys. I'm a big L guy. The other thing that Barack says a lot is, you know. He switches off between and you know.
You know.
It's not way over the top, though.
You know, John.
My friend.
You know, John, you act like the war just started yesterday.
Oh, my friends. I need to set the record straight.
My friends.
Because that
I don't
one.
I know how to do it.
That one.
That one.
Yeah, my friends. All right, back to celebrity news, John.
Old pee pants over there.
Josh Brolin. Josh Brolin has hit back at claims he owes his success as an actor to his famous father, James, and stepmother Barbara Streisand. Oh. Now, Josh Brolin is starring in W. I don't know if you know that, John. W, coming out October 17th by Oliver Stone.
W.
He was nominated for No Country for Old Men. Did he win? I don't think he did.
I don't know.
The W star became accustomed to the limelight as a child of casting director Jane Aggie and television film actor James Brolin, who wed third wife Streisand in 1998. Okay, so his mom's a casting director, and his dad is James Brolin. But Brolin insists he's never taken advantage of his famous relatives, adamant his success is derived from his own talents. Now, I will agree wholeheartedly that he is much more talented than his father is an actor, Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
He's a great actor. But to say that his dad and his mom, who's a casting director, had nothing to do with his career is a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
They got him, just like we talked about Nicholas Coppola last week.
Right, right.
How do you think Nicholas Coppola got even a chance to audition for Fast Times? It's because of his goddamn dad. And Josh Brolin got the chance to audition for, what was his first
movie? Valley Girl.
Gremlins. Is because of his mom and his dad.
Was he in Gremlins?
Yeah. What I have to agree with, though, is because he sustained his long career is because he has talent. And probably because he's somebody that they can work with on the set. I'll give you an example. Kirk Cameron, right? Huge TV star, Kirk Cameron. Then he found Jesus.
Yeah.
Then he became a total pain in the ass because when he wasn't acting, he was telling everybody that he worked with that they needed to find Jesus. That's why the guy doesn't act anymore.
Jesus.
Nobody wants to put up with that shit.
Right.
Just come and do your job. Like Tom Cruise, don't push Scientology down my throat. Just come and do your job. Just act. That's it. But no, they got to save everybody. And that kind of a pain in the ass does not work anymore on a movie set. So there's Josh Brolin. He's talented, and he's probably a nice guy to work with. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I disagree that maybe he's never taken advantage of it, but things happened that maybe he was unaware of that led to this career. That's
unawares.
All I have to say. Unaware.
He was unawares.
Unaware. But what do you think? We're naive? I mean, look at McCain. Do you think McCain would even... I'll give you a story here, John. I'll give you... Hey, you know what? I'm going to give you a positive story about McCain. I watched this documentary yesterday.
Yeah.
So McCain, we know he graduated at the bottom of his class, right?
Right.
And he wasn't the greatest student. And who is the greatest student? I don't know. But after he got back from Hanoi... He tried to get into some other naval school. I'm not sure which one. And they rejected him.
Yeah.
And his father had to step in
right. And
say, hey, you need to take him. So they took him. Not based on his merit, not based on his grades, but because his daddy said, hey, take my kid. I don't know what else to do with this fucking guy. Take him in your goddamn school, all right? and it's the same thing. Josh Brolin may not have known, but I'm sure his parents had influence with other people and opportunities that were available came through the parents. So I think it's very naive of him to believe that. That's all I'm saying, John.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
What? That he's naive?
Yes.
I don't know. What do I care?
You don't care?
No.
We can cut that out and post.
Why?
Anyway, getting on
was
celebrity
news. Was I supposed
news.
To give you feedback on that?
Mark Wahlberg.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, I told you I was going to give you a positive McCain.
Yeah,
I got a positive.
So you haven't done it yet. I'm waiting for the delivery.
I'm watching
I'm
watching this documentary, and we've said this before. McCain is a survivor. He survived 5 years in Hanoi after his plane was shot down. And in our view, that has nothing to do with leading a country, that he can survive. But early on in his campaign for the Republican ticket.
Yeah.
The guy blew through money and he ran out of money.
Right.
He completely mismanaged his campaign.
Right.
And really had no direction and he had no money whatsoever.
No, none.
And people were saying it's over for McCain. He's out. But what he did is he focused on New Hampshire. He went by himself.
Yeah.
And he gave like 100 town hall meetings in 30 days or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And he won New Hampshire. And after he won New Hampshire, the money started to roll in. So, again, the guy's a survivor. He knows what to do to survive. But he ran his campaign into the ground. He totally exhausted all his money. He had no direction whatsoever. And when he was forced to, he simplified everything and he spoke to the people directly and got back in the race. And the money started coming back in.
Yeah.
So, yes, the guy is a survivor. Can he lead the country? No, I don't think so. Not at all. He is not a leader. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
But I do say something positive about him here. I really admire what he did to win that New Hampshire primary.
He's tough.
He's tough. He's a survivor.
My friends, he's a tough survivor, my friends. He didn't have a kitchen table.
Probably the nicest thing I could say about him. All right, last celebrity story there, John. Mark Wahlberg is still rattled by a 2004 fan charging incident during a guest appearance on MTV because the crazed girl who rushed at him wasn't very Christian.
What?
The actor was promoting a movie on the show when a screaming fan ran towards Wahlberg and had to be pulled off him by security guards. And the star fears her intentions might not have been altogether good. Do you know why, John?
No.
He explains, the only thing that was a bit disturbing was she had a pin on her shirt that said, "God is not real." And that was upsetting to me.
Oh, Jesus.
But I still pray for her to this day.
Did you see the bit on Saturday Night Live about Mark Wahlberg?
She's changed her mind. The deeply religious star, a Catholic, has a small chapel in his Hollywood mansion.
Oh.
I did not see the SNL.
Really?
Right.
And now Mark Wahlberg talks to animals.
Hey. I'm Mark Wahlberg. You guys know me. Let's go talk to some animals. Hey, dog, how's it going? I like your fur. That looks really great. So you're a dog, right? What's that all about? Okay, well, it was great to meet you. Say hi to your mother for me, okay?
I don't get it, man. I can see why Risky Business is on your top 10.
Hey, donkey, what's going on?
You don't hear his voice. He's like perfect, man.
You eat apples, right? I produce Entourage. Okay. Talk to you later, donkey. Now I'm going to talk to a chicken. Hey, chicken, how's it hanging? A lot of people want to eat you, but I just want to talk to you, okay? We should do a film together. What do you think? Chicken, I'm not joking around, okay? This is the real thing. I mean, this could be huge. All right, well, think about it. Say hi to your mother for me, all right?
What do you mean, man? He's got his voice right on.
Okay.
It's just completely absurd. It's absurd. Absurdity.
Where's the slapstick? You said that you had to have slapstick.
Well, it's slapstick is visual. You can't listen to slapstick, you douche.
Right, but for you, you said you gotta have slapstick for it to be funny.
Yeah,
there's no slapstick, so now it's slapstick or absurdity.
This is what he said about it. He said someone showed it to me on YouTube. It wasn't like Tina Fey doing Sarah Palin, that's for sure. And Saturday Night Live hasn't been funny for a long time. They've asked me to do the show a ton of times. I used to watch it when Eddie Murphy was there. Was he seven then? Joe Piscopo and Bill Murray. I don't even know who's on the show now.
Wow, he's angry.
And here
he?
It said, Mark Wahlberg is not a fan of Saturday Night Live sketch from October 4th called The Mark Wahlberg Talks to Animals. In Sunday's New York Post, Wahlberg has a Q&A to promote an upcoming Max Payne movie. And towards the end is asked about the skit. Andy Samberg plays Wahlberg as he talks to a dog, a goat, a chicken, and a donkey. It's described on NBC's website as Barky Bark and the Donkey Bunch.
Okay, now that's funny. Barky Bark and the Donkey Bunch. I get that.
I think it's a slam against Wahlberg for not coming on the show, and they just came up with this goofy-ass shtick.
Well, he's too important. What I want to know is he is the producer of Entourage.
You don't think that was funny? You got to see it, man, especially with the chicken.
I'll check it out.
Dude, don't you hear the people laughing?
Yeah, that really inspires me.
Oh, yeah, okay. Young Frankenstein! Yeah.
What the hell was I going to say now?
Was it the hump on the other side of your back? It's fucking hilarious.
Oh, here's what I want to know. He's the producer of Entourage, and Entourage really presents a hedonistic kind of a lifestyle, which apparently is based on, some of it is based on his career. Yeah. So how, first of all, how does he produce this material? How does that jive with his faith is what I want to know. For example, we talked about Don Ameche. Because of his faith, he had a problem saying, fuck him at the end of Trading Places and would only do one take.
Right.
But Mark Wahlberg is very strong faith, Catholic faith, but still produces this show that doesn't have really any Catholic values. It's almost the opposite.
Right.
These guys just trying to get laid. That's all they try to do the whole time. And it's about the struggling marriage of the agent. And I haven't seen it in a while. Maybe they all go to church
maybe
now.
I don't know. It's all good. It's all nice.
All right, John, turning to science news. John, science
really?
News.
All right.
The Creation Museum. You remember that? The Creation Museum, which teaches life's beginnings through a literal interpretation of the Bible, is claiming attendance figures that would make it an unexpectedly strong draw less than a year and a half after its debut. Guess how many people have gone, John?
How many?
More than a half a million people.
Wow.
Have toured the Kentucky attraction since May 2007.
It's out of sight.
For creationists,
I wonder if anybody's asking them if people walked with dinosaurs.
For creationists, Christians who believe the Bible's first chapter of Genesis is the literal telling of the universe's start, the museum is a godsend. Many have returned with family and friends, some with faraway states.
Oh, you wouldn't believe this. This is unbelievable. It's so real.
It's one of the few with a Christian worldview. Scientists, on the other hand, fear damaging effects on science education when young people tour the museum and fail to square its lessons with what they're learning in school.
Wow.
One display shows humans coexisting with dinosaurs, despite the two species being separated by 65 million years.
Wow.
We're depressed, I think, said Dan Phelps, head of the Kentucky Paleontology Society, who toured the museum shortly after its opening. There's been such a push in recent years to improve science education, but stuff like this still hangs around. That's right.
Speaking of science, have you seen the open letter to the American people?
I have not. From who?
This year's presidential election is among the most significant in our nation's history. The country urgently needs a visionary leader who can ensure the future of our traditional strengths in science and technology, and who can harness those strengths to address many of our greatest problems. Energy, disease, climate change, security, and economic competitiveness. We are convinced that Senator Barack Obama is such a leader, and we urge you to join us in supporting him.
Why don't they mention education in there? I think that's where you got to start is education. You have to teach science at an early age and what it's all about. You got to teach critical thinking, science, the scientific method. And no even address creationism. That's my
opinion,
John.
This is a this open letter is signed by all of the Nobel laureates.
All of them?
All.
Well, Einstein got
all,
a Nobel.
All
he signed
living,
it.
You
oh,
douchebag.
Okay. All living.
I guess we got to teach you that.
Nobel laureates.
They said Senator Obama understands that presidential leadership and federal investments in science and technology are crucial elements in successful governance of the world's leading country. We hope you will join us as we work together to ensure his election in November. signed all in physics, chemistry, medicine. What else is there? Well, economics.
They had three debates, the last one being this evening. I think they should have one debate specifically devoted to science and technology. Because if we're going to compete in a global economy, we need science and technology.
Yeah.
And W has done nothing but destroy science education in his 8 years because the guy's a douche. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, just tonight, McCain said that he opposed Bush on the stem cell deal.
Right.
So he was for science in that instance. But like last week, the one positive of a Bush regime is his opposition to embryonic stem cells.
Right.
Which made scientists come up with an alternative without dealing with embryos so we don't have to have those ethical questions and debates with evangelicals anymore.
Evangelicals.
Even the jellicles. So the one negative that Bush had turned into a positive because of scientists.
Right.
He challenged them, and they stood up to the challenge there, John.
Which is good in a way.
It is good.
It's good.
It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Get this, John. Here's the next science story. Got a lot of science today.
A
lot of science. Back in the good old days, the weak, slow, and stupid would be eaten by lions, leaving the quick and the smart to live on and breed quick and smart babies. But these days, any moron can wheel themselves around a Walmart on a motorized scooter, buying hot pockets with food stamps while talking on their prepaid cell phones, going home to have 15 other fat, stupid babies.
You know what the hardest part of a vegetable is to eat?
No.
The wheelchair?
Yes, of course.
Right.
This isn't evolution, it's de-evolution, and we have technology to thank for it. Well, at least according to British genetics expert Steve Jones. In a modern world of central heating and plenty of food, the same mutation is far less likely to give a child any advantage. A baby born today can expect to live a long and healthy life, which in turn works against the evolutionary tool of natural selection. So basically, living in this technology-advanced era greatly reduces the influence of mutation, random change, and natural selection, the three major forces of evolution. So that no longer means it's survival of the fittest. Instead, it's survival of everyone, which means we won't be seeing any changes in the species as we have seen in the last few millennia. Okay, that's what Steve Jones is proposing. And I think this is, it's a bunch of shit, and I'll tell you why. Natural selection and mutation is going to continue. And where it benefits, it will benefit. For example, apparently, John, I have an allergy to gluten. So I am at a disadvantage.
An allergy to dick in the ass.
Whatever allergy it is. I would think that over the long haul, people who don't have this allergy, possibly. So there are things. Viruses crop up every day. But here's what he fails to address. If you look back at the history of evolution, the greatest periods of evolution, variety, happened during dramatic climate change, and he ignores that completely. Right now we're dealing with global warming. In the next 50 years, the temperature may increase on the planet on average 10 degrees.
Yeah.
People who have the mutation to deal with that are going to fare better than the people who don't. And evolution is going to continue. And evolution never stops. It doesn't stop.
No.
It's only when you factor in climate change, and other things that you will see evolution in action. So this Steve Jones from the UK, they should pull whatever PhDs he has. They should just take him right away because he doesn't know what he's talking about. That's my opinion, John. Do you have an opinion on that?
No.
Not one way or the other?
No.
None.
No, what am I going to say?
I don't know. Anything?
No. I am saying something. No.
Was when I made my argument, was it arrogant?
Yeah, it's no, no.
No.
No, it wasn't arrogant. Argugant.
All right.
Sorry, I'm proofreading one of my side
stories. I see. Very good. So we'll move on to the next one. Now this, you know, we've had some great science stories that we all came from. Black people was one of them. That beer goggles are for real. Another one.
Ah, right.
Yeah. Here's another one to add to the list. And this is why I'm not drinking tonight, John. And I'm thinking about giving up drinking forever after I read this science story to you. First, the experts said drinking low to moderate amounts of alcohol was a good idea, that it might protect against heart disease. The scientists found that the more people drank, this is the latest scientific research. Scientists found that the more people drank, the smaller the size of their brains. Even people who drank lightly, 1 to 7 drinks a week, had slightly smaller brains than non-drinkers.
Ah.
According to the study in the Archives of Neurology.
What?
The association was especially pronounced in women, perhaps because women's typically smaller body size renders them more vulnerable to alcohol, according to the researchers at Wellesley College, Boston University, and the University of California. The gradual decrease in brain size seen as participants drank more was slightly larger than the average decline in brain volume per year with aging.
Absolutely, hey.
And you know what happens when your brain starts to shrink? You know what happens, John?
What's that? Your Alzheimer's. Testicles get bigger?
Alzheimer's. That's when you start, like, losing it.
Yeah,
and
you could offset that with pomegranate juice.
Crapping in your hand and throwing it at the wall and stuff.
Crapping in your hand.
It's really nasty, that Alzheimer's.
Well, you don't know, so what do you care?
Yeah, you don't know, but everybody around you has to deal with this person who has no grip on reality whatsoever anymore.
You saying I got no brains?
No, I'm just saying they're shrinking.
You saying I got no brains?
You know, you've got a big mouth, you know? You've got a big mouth. You know, you just talk too much.
They studied 1,800 adults.
Wow.
Average age at 60. The study began in 1971.
Average age at 60.
Well, their average age is 60. They started the study in 1971. Brain volume decreases with age at an estimated rate of 1.9% per decade.
Wow.
They don't say what percent it is for the alcohol, but it's got to be more than 1.9% per decade.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And there you have it. Yeah. Right on.
Scott, airport scanners will show genitals.
They will?
Yeah.
To everybody?
Yeah, domestic travelers leaving Melbourne Airport over the next 6 weeks will be asked to test new security scanners.
Testies.
That can see through clothing.
Nice.
Yeah. Transport security authorities are trialing the new X-ray backscatter body scanner, which has been described by critics as a virtual strip search.
Let me ask you this, John. If we go through these strip search things, are we still going to have to go through the metal detector as well?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well,
I
then
think you just walk right through.
Man. Really?
Yeah. With your everything on. The scanner uses a low energy X-ray to reveal any objects, metal or otherwise, under a person's clothing, including body features.
Well, what if I hide it in my crack or something?
Well, you know, the testing will be entirely voluntary during the trial, which is being undertaken to test how the new scanners would affect the flow. Oh, shit. I lost my spot.
Well, what kind of X-rays are they shooting through me that they can see my genitalia through my clothes is what I want to know. And is that healthy?
It does see through clothing, but it's not a photographic image. It's a low-energy X-ray that reflects off the skin.
Right.
It will show the private parts of people. But what we've decided is that we're not going to blur those out because it severely limits the detection capabilities. It is possible to see genitals and breasts while they're going through the machine.
Nice.
However, Ms. Johnson said there were a number of measures in place to tackle concerns about privacy. The faces are automatically blurred, and it's only a chalk-style outline. It's not as invasive as some of other equipment that we've got.
Well, that's great news, isn't it?
Yeah.
I look forward to that. Yeah.
Look at this fat ass coming through with the tiny penis, man.
Well, what I want to know is obviously some sort of X-ray is involved.
Yeah.
If I'm a seasoned traveler, do I have to worry about my balls falling off at some point?
From the X-ray?
Yeah.
I know. That seems like it would be a concern since they put that giant lead jacket on you to cover your balls when they even take a picture of your teeth.
Right. Right.
Why is that? Oh, it's just a precaution. And you don't want to shrink your nuts while we're taking a picture of your jaw.
I like how they run out of the room.
Yeah.
And then fire that thing up.
Yeah, you're like, why are you leaving? Not nothing. We just have to go behind this metallic curtain while we blast you with X-ray. It seems strange.
It is strange.
What else you got? You said you had a bunch.
I got one more science story.
You said you had a shitload of it.
That's like the fifth one.
Oh.
You haven't been paying attention. You've been going over your science stories. The 10 years after graduation, high school students who had been rated as conscientious and cooperative by their teachers were earning more than classmates who had similar test scores but fewer social skills. The study's findings challenged the idea that racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic gaps in education attainment and earnings can be narrowed solely by emphasizing cognitive skills, says somebody from the University of Illinois. It's important to note that good schools do more than teach reading, writing, and math. They socialize students and provide the kinds of learning opportunities that help them to become good citizens and to be successful in the labor market. And I couldn't agree with that more. For me, high school was just one big social event. I mean, I was like McCain. I graduated in the bottom. I was like fifth from the bottom of 700, a class of 700.
Nice.
Because I went for the social aspect of it.
Right,
and I had a single mother, and education wasn't really important to her or stressed to me the importance of education. But the success that I've had, the limited success I've had in my career, I believe is based on the social skills that I picked up and made better in high school.
It sounds good. More better.
Made more better. Of course,
I made more
better.
Yes,
my
better.
Grammar suffers, but my social skills excelled. Because high school was one big social event to me.
A credit cunt.
Now, John, you didn't do that well with grades.
No.
How were you in high school? Were you a social butterfly?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In high school?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No doubt.
No doubt.
To this day, the wife is amazed at how many people know me. People I work with. Oh, you know that guy? What the fuck? You know everybody. Yeah. I was telling you that story the other day.
Yeah, you were. Yeah.
You're telling me about your swimming. You're a legend. Some shit like that.
My what?
You're a legend.
Yeah.
You're a legend. He's a legend.
I can't remember if I was dating my wife or we had just gotten married, but we went and worked out. It was probably when we were dating. We went and worked out in Mount Prospect, of all places, at a pool. And one of the girls that was working saw my name. And then asked my wife if I was the same one that swam at Maine West. And my wife said, well, yeah, he swam. He's a legend.
He's a legend.
You know why?
Because your giant penis and your Mark Spitz Speedo?
No.
Oh.
After I got out of high school, every year they have an alumni meet. The alumni come back and we swim against the high school team. So that the new swimming members know what a meet's all about, how it functions, where they need to be at a certain time and when. And that's held over the Christmas holidays. So it's very popular. Alumni come in from all over the country to take on the high school team. And in the 20 years after I graduated high school, I never lost a race.
Yeah,
that's
you,
why.
You like to be at those meets.
That's why.
I'm swim a living meet.
Living legend.
Yeah.
John. Living.
Living legend.
That's right.
I can't wait till some little pimple-faced kid beats your ass.
That happened in my 21st year. The kid who broke my record beat me.
Take that, old man!
By less than a second.
Yeah, you must have went to faggot school.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I forgot to mention, I probably mentioned it, that the Websters, W-E-B-S-T-I-R-S, Websters.
The Websters.
Websters, like the it stirs web. It up.
Yes, the Websters.
They're coming out with a new CD next month.
Do you have advanced cuts?
We're going to get an advanced copy.
Oh, we don't have it yet?
Well, I have a cut.
From the new CD?
Yeah. I copped it off of their MySpace. Because, you know, I've asked, I haven't come out directly and asked Preston for the song. But he tried to be funny and he sent me an Alfred E. Newman song called It's a Gas and said, yeah, check this track out. It's real funny, man. Couldn't pull one over on John, though, of a TTN. John of a TTN. But this is their title track, So Long. Now the sun is in your eyes, but you can't tell day from night, so you stay inside. And you're lying in your bed with the words you could have said. Oh, why? Why'd you wait so long? So long, the nights go on. So long. Yeah, so long. So they're going to shoot us an advanced copy.
Nice.
We're going to try and get them in here to play some live tunes.
Live. And then, and, you know, see where they stand on creationism and evolution. Oh, and who they
does
voted
everybody
got
to be a debate?
Yeah, not everything.
Everybody.
I think when we introduce guests to our audience, we have to frame their reference
belief
point.
System?
Yeah. Don't you think?
I don't know. I thought, hey, you're a musician. You got your...
I can't talk, especially if they still have their original bass player.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. What am I going to talk to him about?
Original bass player.
Not original, but if they have the bass player that we saw, how many years ago was that? Was
I
it
don't know.
2 years
yeah.
ago?
Yeah.
If he's still in the band, what am I going to talk to him about?
Hey, how do you play the bass, man?
Right, pretty much. How do you play? Hey, is the 5-string tune the same like the first the
it's
first 4
like
strings?
A regular bass, right? But it has 5 strings. No. No.
No. I'm just going to embarrass myself if I have to talk about music.
Just sit over there.
Come on.
Old man.
All right, I'll find something to talk about that doesn't involve belief systems.
Yeah, you could talk about your favorite bands, what their influences are.
Yeah, there you go. We made a whole movie out of that.
Why does somebody have to...
With catheter.
If somebody went to Juilliard, all of a sudden you can't talk to them about music?
No, I'd be intimidated.
Why? Rock and roll is what? It's 3 chords, man.
3 chords and a... What does Bono say?
Yeah,
Bono?
That's all this song was.
3 chords and a...
2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, they have 4 chords. No?
Right on. Well, of course, we'll have a round of Shit or Shinola.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit or Shinola, little sucking and licking.
Oh, you know, I did record some question and answer session with my daughter. So if we ever want to do Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, because she's in fifth grade. Could we get sued for that?
Yes.
Oh, all right. So we would do what? Are you
smarter than
my daughter?
Than a 12-year-old or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah.
Yeah. Do that.
Right.
Shit or Shinola.
Right-o.
Talk about music. Movies,
right?
Creativity,
right.
Artistry, you know, gay stuff.
Gay stuff. You know,
you know,
gay
yeah,
stuff.
You know,
gay stuff.
All right, John, 3 weeks before the election.
Yeah.
You ready to go?
I'm ready.
Y'all ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, the one other thing that came out this week is Palin's been under investigation for Trooper Gate.
No.
For using her influence to try to get her ex-brother-in-law fired because he divorced her sister. And they came out with a report. I don't know when they came. It's sometime this week. Maybe it was even last week. They came out with a report and they said, well, she didn't break any laws, these types of laws, but she did break Alaska's ethics laws.
Right.
That's in the report.
It's in the report.
So they asked Palin about, what do you think about the report? And she said that she feels completely vindicated, that the report found there was no hint of any ethical violations, and she's glad to have it behind her. From what I hear, the investigation is going to continue because they did find she broke the law in regards to ethics, yeah. And now they want to look deeper into it. So my question is,
anus.
Is she, does she know she's lying or is she delusional or what?
Well, that's the trick, you know. They say that shit and then they just say it over and over and over. And, you know, like McCain, the fundamentals of the economy are strong. I truly believe that. It's no doubt we are in a crisis.
My friends.
But the fundamentals are strong, of the economy are strong. And then he comes out and he kept saying it until they really nailed him on it. And then he says, well, no, what I meant was the workers.
Yeah,
you know,
those are the fundamentals.
Those are the fundamentals.
I thought everybody would know that.
Actually, I was talking about the band, The Fundamentals.
Yeah.
They got a new album out.
My friends.
Ladies and gentlemen, my friends, I was talking about The Fundamentals. Here they are. They're like the Beatles.
Yeah, yeah, right on.
Right, I didn't say fundamentals. I said fun for mentals.
Now with McCain, with
the economy is fun for mentals.
With McCain's flip-flopping, is it in his lying? I don't know if it's he knows he's lying or if he just can't remember what he said because he's old.
A little bit of the he's going to shit in his hands, start throwing it.
Yeah,
at people.
I don't know. Well, that could happen. Who knows? I mean, how old was Reagan when he got Alzheimer's?
I think he's the Manchurian candidate. I can't believe that's John McCain.
Could be.
It's got to be a robot. You see the blinking? It doesn't even look like his eyes are moistened.
No, it doesn't.
They look like two black glass marbles.
That grin. Every time he finishes talking and that grin he has. It's just...
it's like a jack-o'-lantern. His head's like a big jack-o'-lantern.
Oh, and I don't know if you've
those
seen
jowls.
This, but Rolling Stone came out with a 12,000-word article on John McCain's character. And... they really didn't have anything nice to say at all.
No.
I mean, 12,000 words, and I don't know how many were devoted to a positive character of John McCain.
Well, shit, the first paragraph, man.
Yeah, it's brutal.
You see, McCain is studying at the National War College, a prestigious graduate program he had to pull strings with the Secretary of the Navy to get into. Dromisi is enrolled, and Dromisi is this other... well, let me back up a little bit. At Fort McNair, an army base located along the Potomac River, the nation's capital, a chance reunion takes place one day between two former POWs. It's the spring of 1974, Scott, and Navy Commander John Sidney McCain III has returned home from the experience in Hanoi that, according to legend, transformed him from a callow and reckless youth into a serious man of patriotism and purpose. Walking along the grounds at Fort McNair, McCain runs into John Dromisi, an Air Force lieutenant colonel who was also imprisoned and tortured in Vietnam. McCain is studying at the National War College, a prestigious graduate program he had to pull strings to get into. Dromisi is enrolled on his own merit at the Industrial College of Armed Forces in the building next door. There's a distance between the two men that belies their shared experience in North Vietnam. Call it an honor gap. Like many American POWs, McCain broke down under torture and offered a confession to his North Vietnamese captors. Dramisi, in contrast, attempted two daring escapes. For the second, he was brutalized for a month with daily torture sessions that nearly killed him. His partner in the escape, Lieutenant Colonel Ed Atterbury, didn't survive the mistreatment. But Dramisi never said a disloyal word, and for his heroism was awarded two Air Force crosses, one of the service's highest distinctions. McCain would later hail him as one of the toughest guys I've ever met. On the grounds between the two brick colleges, the chit-chat between the scion of four-star admirals and the son of a prize fighter turns to their academic travels. Both colleges sponsor a trip abroad for young officers to network with military and political leaders in a distant corner of the globe. I'm going to the Middle East, Dramisi says. Turkey, Kuwait, Lebanon, Iran. Why are you going to the Middle East? McCain asked dismissively. It's a place we're probably going to have, we'll probably have some problems, Dramisi says. Why? Where are you going, John? I'm going to Rio. What the hell are you going to Rio for? McCain, a married father of three, shrugs. I got a better chance of getting laid.
What a douche.
What a dick.
Douche.
Oh, you know what I forgot?
Well, this is, check this out. Dramisi, who went on to serve as chief war planner for U.S. Air Forces in Europe and commander of a wing of the Strategic Air Command, was not surprised. McCain says his life changed while he was in Vietnam, and he is now a different man, Dramisi says today, but he's still the undisciplined, spoiled brat that he was when he went in.
Right, and you get this, when I observe him, I get this feeling that McCain is owed this. He's owed this.
Yeah.
You owe this to me, this presidency, and this, I'm going to call him arrogant, even though people call me arrogant, this this arrogance that says that, hey, I shouldn't even be on stage with this Barack Obama guy. You should just give me the presidency.
Just
you owe it
up
to me. Like a spoiled little brat is the impression that I get.
Well, that's what one of, you know, even as, for instance, this Alex Castellanos, Republican strategist, said about the debate. He said, Senator McCain was aggressive tonight, but at times overly so, looking a bit small. I'm still looking to hear why he should be president in addition to why Senator Obama should not.
Well, he can't. He can't say that. Obama's trying to focus on, he's trying to get his message out. McCain, all he's doing is attacking Obama because they told him, hey, you're losing. You lost the presidency. You're going to have to do something tonight. So who knows? Maybe he was trying to bait him into some meltdown on Obama's part or something. But Obama's too seasoned for that. So now he just comes off looking like a douche because he doesn't want to tell you what his plans are. He just wants to attack Obama.
Paul Bagala, a Democratic strategist, McCain lapsed into Senate speak too often, made some lame attempts at humor, and snarled that Senator Obama is that one. A war hero, to be sure, but he is yesterday's man.
Yesterday.
Man. Yeah.
Right on. You know, there's this essay that I found, and I've been meaning to bring it in. I forgot it again, but maybe I will next time. But this woman vacationed with McCain unknowingly. They all went to Fiji in 2000, and she found out McCain was there. And she writes this essay about some of the things that happened that gets to the heart of this guy's character. And to me, he is a total ass as a human being. And I will give him the credit for being a survivor.
Yeah.
Hanoi, he survived the beginning of this Republican convention when he blew all his money. But to turn that around and expect to be able a natural leader, no, I don't see that at all. I'm like this other guy. I still see the spoiled brat and a guy with real severe character issues. That's what I see, yeah. John.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Andrew UK. He sent us a postcard. but he put it in an envelope. And he wrote on the back of the card, John saw this and thought of TTN. Was about to post it when I realized that A, some deep south postal prick might censor it, or B, you might not want your kids to see it on the doormat. Hence the envelope. Tet. And what it is, it's a list of religious truths. For instance, Taoism, shit happens. You know, basically, here's the religion. Here's what it means in layman's terms.
Yes.
Buddhism. If shit happens, it isn't really shit. Hinduism. This shit has happened before. Islam. If shit happens, it is the will of Allah. Catholicism. Shit happens because you deserve it. That must be also the secret, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Protestantism. Protestantism. Is that how you say it?
I don't know. You know, before you said it, I knew what it was. Now I couldn't. I couldn't tell you what it was.
Protestantism. let shit happen to somebody else. Judaism. Why does shit always happen to us?
I don't know.
It always happened to us. So thanks, Andrew UK.
Oh, one other thing about Andrew UK. He had an avatar. That
you missed, man.
I missed. But some of the forum users got quite upset at his avatar. And
I don't know why.
Well,
it was a flag with a cross in the middle of it, a pseudo-American flag. It had 15 stripes, not the usual 13. It had a crucifix right in the middle of it. And then over the blue part, it had a bunch of pictures of the star and the moon, I think it is, of Islam.
Oh, yes.
The battle between the two religions and the sponsor,
well,
America.
I did see a couple of forum posts attacking the avatar.
Yeah.
And then Andrew spends the next three or four posts apologizing and then removes the avatar. I don't get that. I don't get it.
Yeah. If you're going to put it up, you know, stand your ground, man.
Right on.
Come on. Total Talk Nonsense. That's the forum. It's about exchange of ideas, getting into it.
Right on.
I mean, I remember one time Stefan C. and somebody else was having an argument about vitamin C. It was pretty compelling. It got to like 500 words from each post.
And you learned a lot,
you
right?
You learned something.
You learned something from that.
Or you got to learn something.
Right on.
Yeah.
All right, you got anything else?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing.
We have no gigs coming up. Nothing is scheduled.
Is Phil coming tonight?
Yeah, Phil's coming over.
Is he?
Yeah, I was just trying to fill time until he got here.
Oh. Look out the window, would you? See out
right,
there?
Hold on.
You see him?
Oh, yeah. He's out there.
Oh, he's just...
Yeah, he's smoking. Because you won't let him smoke in the house, right?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know why he's got to have a cigarette. I don't know why he's got to have a
like
cigarette
right
before
on
he
cue.
Comes. All right, man. Hold on. Let me get the door.
Yeah, would you?
All right. Then.
Hey. Sorry, I walked right into you.
All right, I'm back. I don't know. I opened the door. I kept walking. I walked right into him. I need to see a chiropractor.
Gentlemen.
Hey, Phil, what's happening? We missed you last week. Right. You douche. You pull that shit again, we'll get a new newsman.
No shit, man. Has he got his cans on?
Yes.
I can't see.
God, I've got my cans on. Well, I did leave you a message last week.
Good.
Why I wasn't able to attend. I thought that you would have already played that on the show.
I didn't get a message.
You didn't get that message.
No.
All right, that. Well, maybe there's something wrong with my phone, or maybe I dialed the wrong number.
You left a message with somebody else. Hey!
Well, actually, last week I was feeling a little under the weather, John, so it sounded more like this. Hello? This is Phil. I'm not going to make it. to do the news.
You gargling jizz or
that
something?
That is a dramatization of what my phone call would have sounded like if it actually recorded on your...
Better be careful, man. You'll be paying your...
You know, I know what it was. I didn't call the TTN jizz line.
Yeah.
847...
Actors Guild dudes.
TTN jizz. I called your cell number,
847 TTNGIZD jizzed. 847... 886-4493.
That's right, John.
That's the hotline.
But I'm ready tonight. I have prepared some news stories for your listening pleasure. And, of course, to keep you informed about current events.
Nice.
Because that's my job. I'm an award-winning newsman, John.
You sure are.
I'm kind of... moving into a boarding zoo kind of an inflection, aren't I?
Yeah.
That's right, everybody. This is Phil McCracken Wickham.
Oh, wait, we got a call coming in.
A call?
Yeah.
Who's it from? Is it from a 262 area code?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, it's John from Total Talk Nonsense. What's up, man?
Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, man, it's good to... Was it Phil?
Yeah, this is
hey,
Phil.
All right, buddy. Since nobody else calls us, I thought I'd call our own show.
Well, it's good to hear from you.
All right, well, is John there? Can I talk to John?
No, John stepped out. Sorry.
John,
to...
John stepped out.
Actually,
no,
Scott
right
stepped
here.
Out
I'm
as
right
well.
Here,
Scott,
right
I think
up?
He's taking a leak or
no,
something.
I'm here.
Where's Scott exactly?
I think he went to the cab.
Is he jerking it?
He might be jerking it.
All right, I gotta go. Bye.
All right, well, thanks for calling.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. What's up? Did I get any calls?
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Some cat named John just called, from what I understand. And no, I wasn't jerking it.
I was just checking
douche.
The... TTN hotline to make sure it worked because Uno Shadow's the only one that calls us. That's it. We got one caller at 847. That's probably because it's not on the website. 847 TTNGIZD. That's 847-886-4493.
Oh, that's a good point, John. Because,
drunk dialing, whatever you want to do.
My computer totally crashed.
Sex.
Totally crashed.
Yeah?
So I can't even get the email. So if you did, we do get a lot of email, but email will be unavailable. For show purposes for at least 2 more weeks.
Wow.
Until I get my shiznit together.
Unless you email me.
Possibly.
John at TotalTalk.
Yeah, you can email John. So email John because TTN is down. It's not
down.
But I can't
no,
get to it.
He's down.
I can't get to
going
it.
Going down.
That's the point.
All right.
Or Scott at Total Talk Nonsense. I have no access to that.
Wow. All right, Phil, you ready to go?
Of course, John, I'm always ready to go.
Whoops.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Scott.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News,
Phil
McCracken Wickham.
Thank you, John. And our first story tonight... As oil approaches $80 a barrel on news, let me start over. Oil approaches $80 a
approaches.
Barrel. Oil approaches $80 a barrel on news that you'll need gas to drive to the unemployment office. Next story, John.
Oh.
Teen changes her name on website. I'm sorry. I'm really struggling. Teen changes her name to website address to prevent students from dissecting chicken. In class.
Huh?
Cost to change her name? $150. People she will persuade? Zero. The stupidity? Priceless. A 19-year-old Asheville teenager said she legally changed her name to cutoutdissection.com. to protest animal dissections in schools. The Asheville Citizen Times reported that Asheville High graduate Jennifer Thornburg now wants to be called Cutout. Her new legal name is the web address for an anti-dissection page of the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
Wow.
The teenager said she began opposing dissections in middle school after a class assignment to dissect a chicken wing made her uncomfortable. She helped create a policy at her high school that allows students who object to dissections to complete an alternative assignment.
Is she a vegetarian?
It does not say that she's a vegetarian. She was just uncomfortable when she had to dissect a chicken.
Okay.
Next story, John. Man claims bailout is worse than a divorce. Says, I've lost half my net worth, and I still have a wife. Next story, John. Man accused of tucking six lobsters into his pants. A San Diego man accused of poaching lobsters allegedly was caught with six of the creatures stuffed in his trousers. 33-year-old Bin Quang Chow, who has been cited four times for poaching, allegedly took the lobsters from a La Jolla State Marine Conservation Area. Department of Fish and Game Warden Daryl Simmons says wardens arrested Chow when they noticed odd bulges in his pants. All six of the newspaper-wrapped lobsters were still alive and were returned to the ocean. Next story, John. Good news for 35-plus-year-old bachelors. That's good news if you're a bachelor and you're 35 years or older. Good news. Society no longer thinks you're gay. They just think you're a loser. Next story, John. Forget rain, sleet, or snow. The bite of a poisonous snake wasn't enough to keep Florida mail carrier Ephraim Arnango from his appointed rounds on Friday. The 66-year-old was bitten as he put mail inside a mailbox. He told authorities that he shook his arm and thwacked the snake against his car door to break its grip.
Ooh.
Arnango continued to deliver mail for 30 more minutes before getting help. That's a real hero, John.
Yeah.
Next story. Unexpected consequence of the economic meltdown, sales of maternity clothes and baby items soar as couples can no longer afford to go out, so they stay home and reluctantly have sex with each other. Next story, John.
Nice. Nice.
A man has opted for the I was stupid sign outside plant. A man who caused damage at a wastewater treatment plant in Eau Claire has decided to pick public humiliation over jail time to pay for his crime. Eau Claire County Judge Paul Lenz gave Shane McQuillan an option after he was found guilty of criminal damage to property for ramming his car into a closed gate at the plant. McQuillan could spend time in jail or spend a day outside the plant holding a sign that says, I was stupid. McQuillan chose the signed sentence Wednesday. The 22-year-old told an officer after the incident last March that he had been drinking and was just being stupid. Next story, John.
A little slow on the uptake there.
UW-Madison instructor shows railroad scene from blazing saddles to class. Black student complains.
Wow.
Gets refund of $280 and an apology. Oddly, no white students complained about paying to watch part of a shitty movie. Next story, John.
Excuse me while I whip this out. What's your fucking point?
A woman has said that she was shot in the leg by her stove.
Oh, what?
Corey Davis told the Pennsylvania Daily News she had just stoked her cast iron heating stove Sunday when she heard a loud bang and was struck in her left calf. Davis said the queso shotgun shell spilled out about a month ago at her home, and one must have landed in the newspaper she used to light the stove. She removed the metal fragment herself and was treated Monday at Forks Community Hospital. The stove is currently being held for questioning. Next story,
wow.
John. the Pope, John, Pope Benedict,
yeah,
denounces anti-Christian violence and related news. Christian violence still okay. Next story, John. A man who decided to take home a fox he hit on the road wrecked his SUV after the animal he thought was dead revived. Tommy Fox ran over the fox last Wednesday near Dover, Tennessee, as he returned home from work. Thinking the animal was dead, he decided to take the animal home to cut off its tail as a souvenir. The tail's really bushy and purdy and thick this time of year, Grand Staff said. Instead, the driver flipped his GMC Jimmy, trying to keep the fox that had awoken in the back seat from biting him. Fox suffered minor injuries and bruises. The fox died, though it is unclear if it was from the initial injuries or the subsequent wreck of the vehicle. In related news, a woman rolls her vehicle while trying to break up a fight between her two cats riding on her lap. Next story, John.
That's hilarious, man.
Wait a minute. This is just in. This is a breaking story, John. I'm just getting this off the wire. A breaking story.
Breaking
Do we have
story.
The breaking story sound effect ready, John? This is a breaking story.
Breaking story.
Yes, a breaking story. All right. Here is the story. This just in. This is out of Greenville. This is out of Greenville, South Carolina. Sheriff's deputies are investigating. Sheriff's deputies are investigating an incident that left one man with something. No one is sure what. Embedded in his ass.
Oh.
If you have any information, please contact John and Scott at 847-TTN-GIST.
Oh.
Let's return to our regularly broadcast news.
Regularly.
Next story, John. Police secretly install a closed-circuit camera in the home of a British Methodist minister. Arrest her for sending herself threatening mail and blaming others. British authorities say a vicar stands accused of allegedly sending herself a dead hedgehog and dog feces to prove herself a crime victim. The Reverend Janet McGee, 62, a Methodist minister, also claims she was the victim of threatening phone calls and hate mail, which police determined she allegedly made and sent herself. Police reached their conclusions after secretly installing a closed-circuit television camera in her home, noting Maggie is in on trial in Grimsby Crown Court. We've heard of Grimsby. For making false claims to police.
Right.
Maggie, who allegedly tried to portray the hedgehog, dog feces, phone calls, and hate mail as the work of people in her church, has been suspended as minister in charge of seven parishes on the Brigg and Barton upon Humbler Methodist Circuit. The Mall reported, noting Maggie has pleaded innocent.
Whoever set me up has done it brilliantly, Maggie said. I take my hat off to him.
Next story, John.
A sphincter says what?
An academic finds evidence that Bach's wife, Johann Sebastian Bach's wife, wrote some of his music. Mostly the pieces that seem to go on and on forever, without really getting to the point. Next story, John.
Ah, right. Yeah. That sounds about right.
When you gotta go, you gotta go, John. There was no stopping in Oklahoma. An Oklahoma island man whom cops clocked at 65 miles an hour in a 35 zone in northwest Florida. The driver got out of his car and immediately peed on himself while asking the deputy if he was in trouble. When the deputy asked the driver if he'd been drinking, he confessed. Might as well, considering the driver handed the cop a half-full bottle of rum.
Oh.
Next story, John. Homeless man steals cement truck, gets involved in high-speed chase, and then he gets caught. Police say the evidence is concrete. Next story, John.
Oh.
This is McCain Math. 25,000 people came to our rally. Problem number one, the arena only holds 16,000 people. Problem two, fire marshal estimates the crowd at 12,000 people.
Nice.
Next story, John. Darwin rolls over in his grave. Amorous couple may be the dumbest people on the planet. And let's hope they used a rubber.
Oh.
A couple caught by police having sex in their car early Sunday morning admitted they were unaware where they had parked. When an officer knocked on the window, they quickly learned their trysting spot may have been a little hastily chosen. The couple were busted in a Hellertown police station parking lot with the engine still running in a handicapped spot. The driver, Dennis Connor Cullen, 23, is charged with drunken driving. Police did not charge Cullen of Potomac, nor his unnamed female companion, with anything related to having sex in the car. Cullen is free after posting a $1,500 bail. Our next and last story, John. Next and last story. Sarah Palin has just been accused of not buckling her son Trigg in his car seat before driving. That's right. Palin was accused of not buckling her son Trigg in his car seat before driving. Now, that's just retarded, John.
That's just wrong.
And that's the news.
And that's the news.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Scott. I have to leave. I can't stick around and chit-chat with you, too.
All right, thanks for coming.
I have to move out. I'm Bye. Very busy man.
See you later.
Things to do.
Bye-bye.
To go, people to see. All right, then. All right, Phil.
All right, yeah.
Delivers. I didn't really care for his last story.
No.
No. I think he was making trying to make some kind of joke.
Yeah.
And I don't think it worked. Because I think it's rude. I think it's just downright rude.
It's rude. Yeah. Yeah. Check this out, man. It's Kangaroo Court with Marty. What do you think of that, huh?
It's out of sight, man. I can't even recognize Rick's voice. What year are we talking about?
It was the first time we had the studio with Brian, so... shit.
After 2000 or before 2000?
Oh, it was before 2000. Yeah. Marty had just come back from California. This is him on the solo.
This is pre-catheter, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we played like one gig together and then Rick quit.
How come?
Or I kicked him out.
Did
I don't know.
Kick Rick out? Not Marty?
Or I quit or something.
Well, who's the problem?
Well, we were going to record and instead Rick wanted to play more gigs and he didn't want to work on original stuff and I wanted to. So I went and bought my own 8-track, and he decided to just pack up his shit and he left.
After you told him you bought your own 8-track?
Well, he came in, he goes, what's that? I go, I bought my own stuff, because, you know, you don't want us using yours. So, I got my own shit. I don't need your stuff. Oh, okay. So one day he showed up, and picked everything up and left.
From the studio?
Yeah.
So then what? Is that when catheter
That's
formed?
When catheter, actually
you said, hey,
didn't.
I got this studio.
It didn't. I just kind of went home and, you know, left my shit there, left the recording stuff, paid some rent, and left my drums there, played once in a while. And Phil, the bass player, was playing with, he was playing with some chick and some other keyboard player and a bass player, and the drummer was, you know, Sullivan, was it? No.
Salerno. Mm-hmm.
And I was recording them for them.
I see.
And then they split and split up. And then Phil had this thing called the Wankers. We were doing a thing called the Wankers. And he didn't really want to play drums, so I'd just sit in once in a while and jam. And I conned Zach into coming. Mm-hmm. And jamming with us, and that's basically how catheter was formed. I think we told this story a long time ago.
Yeah,
but yeah, that was old catheter with our old
kangaroo court
with Marty,
catheter founding member Marty.
Yeah, Marty in the band.
Right.
How about that? That's weird, isn't it?
That is weird.
Joey too.
Joey.
Yeah, remember Joey?
Yeah, Joey Baby.
Yeah.
Don't say maybe. Are these the songs that we got into an email argument over? That I told you the vocals weren't loud enough?
Oh, this is Rick's mix, man. I didn't
mix
Rick?
This.
Okay. Yeah. No, we got into an email argument over
catheter stuff?
Probably. I don't mix like that anymore, man.
Yeah,
I only mix vocals quietly when they suck.
After my email.
No, that's not why.
I was very influential.
No, it depends on the song, man. If you ever listen to a Green Day tune, they're very well embedded in the song.
Yes.
You could hardly hear them.
Hardly.
Hardly. Hardly, Scott. Mr. Know-it-all.
Arrogant.
Yeah, arrogant ass. That's exactly how you come across. After we got in an email argument and I was right, now you changed it? I think so, sir.
Very influential, sir.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, there's a great clip of O'Reilly. Some guy, Krugman, just won the Nobel.
Oh, yeah.
And he's on, who the hell's show was he on? I can't remember, but O'Reilly's on the show and this Krugman guy, and they're going at each other. Well, they're not really going at each other. Krugman's trying to be polite.
Yeah.
But O'Reilly's got to be Mr. Tough Guy and tell lies, spin, no spin zone to protect his own ass.
Yeah.
Through puberty or something over here.
Yeah, he won both that and some other award. He's a two-time economics award winner.
Yeah, I read one of his papers, which was pretty funny. It was about, it had to do with time travel. And economics.
And he was joking, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it was very well written. Interesting.
Yeah, he won that. What's the one prize for, like, when you're under 40 or something?
Valedictorian?
No, you douche-inizer.
Homecoming king?
No. Oh, the John Bates Clark Medal.
There you go.
1991. He won that.
Or sometimes the JBC.
The JBC, yeah. Right, yeah. The JBC M for metal. Yeah.
Well, they leave off the M. They just say the JBC.
Yeah, he won that, which is awarded to economic scholars under the age of 40. And he used Nobel Prize in Economics in 2008. Yep. And he's a critic of the W.
Who isn't? Who isn't a critic of the W? How could you not be a critic of the W? Even McCain is a critic of the W, or he's trying to be.
Yeah. All right, well, that's all we got this week.
Hey, are we going to go see the W?
I don't know. Why? Where's he playing?
It's coming out this Friday.
Oh, is he?
The W.
Yeah, maybe. W. Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
Or we could download the BitTorrent.
Oh, that's the one other thing. My aunt said, my aunt and uncle, I asked them about the W. They're going to go see the W. And my aunt was disgusted that somebody would have the gonads to be so as despicable to make a movie about a sitting president.
Ah.
And I just kept quiet. And my uncle said, well, that's what makes this country what it is today, which I thought was very nicely said. And I didn't even argue or nothing.
Profound.
Because I'm an arrogant SOB, and I would have just made matters worse. So when they say don't talk of politics and religion in mixed company, I mean, there's some
merit.
Some merit to that.
Behind that, yeah.
Which I learned the hard way.
What do you mean? That's a blast, man.
Yeah, I did have fun, and I will continue to do it, but I'll do it in a one-on-one fashion. And if people want to gang up on me, fine. I don't care. Bring them on. Six of them, eight of them. Take you all on.
Yeah. I remember getting an argument with an aunt because I thought that Hudson Hawk was a decent movie, you know?
And did you win that argument?
I won it. Yeah, I thought so. Because I just wouldn't quit. And my stepdad's like, yeah, you don't mind my sister. She can be a real bitch at times. And I didn't mind at all. I'll just go toe-to-toe. I don't care who it is. And, yeah, she's like, yeah, what? You like that piece of garbage? Bruce Willis is not an actor. I didn't say he was. I said the movie was very entertaining. I was entertained by it. I laughed. I thought it was funny. I liked the campiness of it with the tried to be a musical, but it wasn't, so it was very tongue-in-cheek. You know, and she starts going on about Al Pacino and, yeah, how many fucking takes, right? Yeah.
When acting. Are you going to see her
I
again?
I can act.
When are you going to see her again?
I don't know.
I think probably you should debate with her about Risky Business being a comedy. I think you'll lose that one.
No, I won't, because she thought it was a comedy, too. Why don't you think it's a comedy?
Oh, you've already discussed it with
it's
her?
It's listed as a comedy. Why wouldn't it be comedy?
I agree with Unishado. I am all behind him.
Of course you would agree
He's
with
my
him.
Mentor.
Yeah, now he is.
Always has been.
Yeah, Young Frankenstein is my favorite.
Somebody that lived in Texas but can be intelligent, that is somebody who is my mentor. I'll tell you that right now.
You're so fucking arrogant, man.
Aren't I?
I can't wait to hear you debate with your cousin, because I'm going to side with him just to spite you.
That's fine. I don't care.
Yeah, you're right, Kevin. He is an ass.
That has
He's
nothing
an
to
arrogant
do with
ass.
Okay, I admit that.
Yeah.
So let's move on. Next topic.
Move on to what?
The topic at hand.
Yeah, but it's
like McCain.
You can't.
You want to attack me instead of talking about the issues.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, if I could prove that you're just an arrogant ass that nobody wants to deal with you, then it doesn't matter what the substance is.
That is correct. For a lot of people, it doesn't matter anymore.
Doesn't matter.
They can't get over how arrogant I am, so they won't even listen to me.
And McCain is coming off as arrogant and grumpy and... you know, I deserve this. You don't. The real elitist. And that's why he's losing.
Right.
That's the way you are. You're very attacking.
Attacking.
I see. Just ask the people on the forum, man. They'll tell you.
What are they going to tell me? Who have I attacked?
Oh, Mr. English. Yeah, I remember you attacked Andrew all over the... Jesus, because he said something about string theory and you had a fucking cow.
It was one... response.
You gave birth to a giant... You gave birth to Tony Robbins right
we
on the
both
show.
Both agreed that it was a learning experience.
I think I see the head.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
All right, let's go, man. I want to go to bed.
That's fine.
All right.
Fine,
whoa!
Man. Yeah, whatever you say.
Whatever.
Yeah, you arrogant Machiavelli.
Yeah, spit it out. Oh. All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we'll, I don't know, we're going to have a podcast Sunday maybe with some guests.
Sunday with guests. We have to work that out.
Stay
somehow.
Tuned.
Stay tuned.
My friends.
We'll figure that out.
Bye-bye.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott. On Total Talk Nonsense.